You know, we're living in a world these days where we are just absolutely bombarded with various views. Social influencers, that's a whole new thing, isn't it, you know? And there are so many people who are posting their Instagram stories and having rants on Facebook. Are you aware of all this? There's just so much stuff coming at you. There are so many voices and they're very different. We're living in a world where we are absolutely bombarded by many voices. We've got to ask ourselves a fundamental question, and that is, which voices are we listening to? Who are we letting speak into our lives? Who are the people that are helping us make decisions and shaping the direction of our life? Well, ultimately, I'm here to tell you today that person should be Jesus. And the ultimate word is the word of God. This is what should be shaping our life. This is what should be shaping our thinking. This is what be shaping our paradigm, our way of looking at the world and understanding the world. It is the word of God and founded on the person and the teaching of Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 10. He talked about the importance of sheep. He talks about Christians as sheep, his followers as sheep. And he says this, "My sheep listen to my voice and I know them. They follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." He goes on, "No one can snatch them out of my hand. The Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." I want to tell you today that there are three marks. There are many marks of a disciple, but I just want to mention three marks of a disciple. Disciples are people who listen to Jesus. Disciples are people who know Jesus. And disciples are people who follow Jesus. So Jesus said, "My sheep, they listen to my voice." Of all the voices that are pummeling you at the moment on social media, we need to discern and look for and listen for Jesus. We need his view, his interpretation, his understanding of what it means to be a person in this contemporary world as a follower of Christ, where we're going in one direction and the world is going in the opposite direction and we're swimming upstream. Anybody feel like that sometimes? Anybody feel like it's somehow being a Christian is swimming upstream and you think the whole world's going this way and every other fish is going past me in the opposite direction, but I'm going to go in Jesus' direction? And that means we need to live counter-culture lives based on the person and the teaching of Christ. Three things about a disciple. They listen to Jesus. They know Jesus, which is an ongoing process. You don't just get to know Jesus when you accept Jesus. You know Jesus more and more, and we follow him. So I believe we need to be saturated and marinated in the words of Jesus and the teachings and the person of Christ. When I did my Bible college training, which was a very, very, very short time ago, when I was 18, as you could well appreciate, that's just almost like yesteryear, decades ago. When I did my Bible college training, there was a guy called Alan in our course, and I got to know him and I said, "What do you do in terms of getting to know the person and the teaching of Jesus?" He said, "I read Matthew's gospel every single year of my Christian life." I said, "What about the rest of the Bible?" He said, "Yes, that too. Yes, I read my Bible. But I make a point of reading Matthew's gospel every single year because I want to be saturated in the teaching and the person of Jesus." I believe if we want to live successful lives as Christ followers, we need to be absolutely saturated and marinated in the teaching of Jesus, because there are endless voices coming at us and we need to know what Christ thinks. We need to know what Christ says about these things, these options and alternatives and these paths that come to us. And not just the teaching of Jesus, of course, as with my friend, the whole Bible is given to us. I've got one of these ones, I don't even know why. It's got the red letters in it. I'm not a big fan of the red letter thing because I think the whole Bible is the Word of God, right? Okay. But the teachings of Jesus somehow in this one. I like this one because it's got big print and I've got really bad eyes. And so, yeah. So I went to the NIV thing because that's, you know, I'm old school and that's where I went. And I went to Coorong and I just found the one with the big print. And so now I'm the big print guy. And it just so happened to have red stuff in it. But that's okay, because the whole Bible has been given to us as the Word of God. This is what it says here. Let's have a look at 2 Timothy 3. This is what the Word of God, this is the saturation that we need to be marinating and basting our lives in. And how Paul is talking to his protege, his mentee, he's talking to Timothy and he says this. He says, from infancy, because Timothy's a third generation believer. There are people in this congregation that are multi-generation believers, that it's going from one generation to another. Hallelujah. Anybody alive out there? Anybody think that's a good thing? We want to pass the faith on to our children, our grandchildren, and we need the help of God, I tell you that. How from infancy, from his grandmother, from his mother, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture, not just the red bits, that's my added bit. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good. Friends, if we want to be thoroughly equipped to live in this world and live positively, purposefully and powerfully for Jesus, we need, it's from the Word of God that we become thoroughly equipped, because we understand the mind of Christ, and if we understand the mind of Christ, we can do the will of Christ wherever we are. And so we need to be thoroughly equipped in that space. And it says, from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, wise for salvation. I've joined a new church and I'm not the senior leader of my new church. It's a freak out, right? You can pray for me. I'm having a freak out because I've been the senior leader of a church for a long time. And now I sit where you sit, right? I just go to church with my wife and we just there, and I'm ministering sort of a far afield like I am today. And I'm pastoring pastors and I'm mentoring people and I'm training and writing some equipping material. And as I get to know people, it's very hard to break into a church. You people who have been here a long time, please be very kind to the new people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You understand that. You have an obligation to be kind and friendly to them. I go to church, and do you know what I hope? As you can see, I'm so sheepish. And underconfident. As I sheepishly walk into church, my wife and I think, I hope people speak to us today. You know, we're so frightened of people. Because there's a part of us that is a little bit like that. Please reach out the hand of fellowship to those people you don't know. Introduce yourself and make sure everybody who comes into this place or watches online feels absolutely and incredibly welcome. Yes? Yes. And so, as I'm saying, I'm getting to know people. I'm going, who's that? Who's that? Who's that? Like a gossip. No, because that's a sin. I'm like a person who's interested in others. And somebody said, oh, that woman up there, she's had an incredible experience. She's been through a really hard time. And she was really at the end of a rope. And do you know what she did? She found a Bible. And she opened up the Bible. And she started reading the Bible. And do you know what happened? The Holy Spirit spoke to her out of the Scripture, and she was absolutely born again by the power of God as she read the Scriptures. She was absolutely turned around. She knew no Christians. So she looked at the front of the book. Where was it come from? Apparently it came from a place called Coorong. So I better ring up Coorong. Maybe they can help me be a Christian. Because she didn't know any Christians. Who would she ring up? She's been touched by God. She's read the Word of God. As she opened the book, she opened a life to Jesus. Yeah. And the power of God, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And so the Holy Spirit grabbed the Word of God and put it into her life. And she was absolutely and utterly born again. She sits at the front of our church and she's on fire for Jesus. I just want to tell you that right up now. Right. That's it. That's what's happened. She got that. 45 minutes, the woman at Coorong was kept giving her Christian counsel and telling her to join the local church. And she's joined it. She's an absolute front house worshiper because she discovered that the Scripture is wise for salvation. That's what it says about itself, wise for salvation. And then it talks about how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. Because now we live on the coast, we've become a holiday destination for the family. God bless them. And my grandson's worked out that it's just one quick ferry ride from Palm Beach to Edelong Beach where we live. Praise the Lord. He likes to use that a lot. And he was coming up and he rang me up the other day, and we talk a lot. He talks a lot and I talk a lot, so we talk a lot. And he said, Papa, I'm reading my Bible. I said, that's awesome. I said, which Bible? He said, the one you gave me. And I'm going, I suppose I went to Coorong once too. And I said, what is it? He said, it's a thicker one, but it's a children's Bible. It's a thicker Bible, but it's a children's Bible. He said, I'm just reading it from front to start. And I just went, oh, no. He's stuck somewhere in the difficult parts. I said, where are you up to? And he said, Ruth. So he's ploughing his way. He's 10. He's ploughing his way through the Bible. I said, when you come up, bring your Bible up. And so we opened up the scriptures, the Bible that I gave him, thick, at a level that he can understand it, at a 10-year-old level, the interpretation of the scriptures. And we went through that. And he's understanding, and I'm explaining how the kingdom has divided, and I'm going through these things and the purpose and the place of the temple. And we went over all those things. He's 10 years of old because it is from infancy that we can be founded in the scripture. If you are a grandparent, buy Bibles until you've got no more money. If you are a parent, read the Bible to your children and tell them crazy stories about the things that Jesus did. If you can't enact a miracle, you're not saved. I'm telling you. If you can't get the wild pigs going into the demons going to the herd of pigs and then running down the hill and going, and drowning in the ocean, you're not saved. I tell you what, there's a whole lot of good stuff in the Bible, but we need to make it alive because the Bible is living. Please pass the faith on to the other generations under you and help them in their understanding of the faith. Because we need to have an unshakable faith, and it's got to be based on the Word of God. Wise and foolish builders, this is what Jesus said. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it didn't fall. Because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and we all know about this. I'm watching the news. This is the world we're living in. And the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Friends, if you want an unshakable life, if you want a life that can weather the storms, that can be thrashed by hardship, that can be flooded with difficulty, that can shake those people around you. If you want an unshakable life, the Bible says we need to have our foundations on the teaching of Jesus. He who hears my word, or the person who hears my word and puts them into practice. That's what it's all about. It's putting the word of God into practice in our lives. That's why Jesus said, my sheep, they listen to my voice. I know them. We have a relationship and they follow me. They follow me. And who is Jesus? Jesus said he was the truth. He was the way, the truth and the life. And Jesus, what did he say about the truth? The truth will set you free. And then he said, and if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Well, I've seen the worst of all this, but now we are people facing the onslaught of just life itself. We need to put the words of Jesus into practice. If we want a rock solid life, if you want a rock solid life, we need to base it on the person and the teaching of Jesus, because you never know what's around life's corner, do you? You never know. Everybody over 25 say amen. Amen. Because everybody under 25 says, well, I'll be praying. Because we just don't know what's around life's corner. It just comes at us and comes to us. So Jesus said this. He said, therefore go. This is an often misquoted verse. Pick the error that people say. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Most people misquote this verse and they just say, oh, Jesus said, go into all the world, make disciples and teach them. That's not what he says. What does he say about teaching? Teaching to obey. Jesus is all about teaching unto obedience. And so as Christians, we are not designed just to have knowledge. The Bible was given not to just inform you and inform me, but to transform us. The Bible wasn't given just to inform us, but to transform us. It is the living God living in us under the power of the Spirit, transforming us to be like Jesus. And so it's the transformational aspect of it. Teach them to obey. That's the practical life, unshakable life built on the rock. That's why Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus is more interested in our conduct than just in our claims. Jesus is more interested in our conduct than just our claims. And we need to find the rhythm of how we become, you know, exposed to the Bible. I believe that we've never been in history at a time so rich in resources for the Bible and yet so poor in knowledge. I'm going to say that again. I want that to sink in. We have never lived in a time in history where have we been so rich for resources and so poor in knowledge of the Word of God. Sometimes if you meet an old saint, they just pours out of them. It's just, you know, they're quoting this and they're quoting that and they're quoting this and they're quoting that. But we have everything at our fingertips. We have so many resources that can bring the Word of God alive to us. And we've got to find new rhythms. I've had to find new rhythms. I went into Bible college at 18. I've been a pastor since I was 21. That's at least 5 years. Times many times 5 years. 10 times 5 years. Right? And so I've had the privilege for 37 years or something as a full-time pastor. I've gone to work and I've had the Bible open on my desk. I've just been, there it is. But you know what? Now that I am not necessarily going to work and being a pastor in that, I've had to find new rhythms. And so what I have found that if in a morning when I go for a walk along the shorefront with the Bluetooth earphones in, I've got Bible Gateway there. Sometimes I listen to a podcast or some news or a bit of radio on the way out because I go for a good long walk. Got to get my 10,000 steps up, everybody. There's a lesson for you. It didn't come from the Bible. And as I'm coming back, change it over. And you know what the amazing thing is? There's a dude in the Bible Gateway app that reads it to me. And so this morning, I'm going along. I'm up to chapter 18. I look down there. It's 4 minutes and 29 seconds. I get through to chapter 21 and it's 7 minutes and something. And so we're going through like that. And people say, oh, I could never read a whole chapter of the Bible. It's 4 minutes and 29 seconds and somebody will read it to you if you just press play. Yeah. That's all you got to do. People say, oh, I can't find time to read the Bible. You have a coffee, hit play. Hi. Find an app. I've used Sacred Space. I've used Daily Bread. I just disagree with everybody that writes things in these things, so I just think I just stick to the Word of God, and I got myself in a knot about these things. And we just need to... So I want to walk. I want to start the day. Went out at... got up at 5:45 this morning. Went out on the walk for 45 minutes. I want to come back. I want to start the day marinated in the teachings of Jesus. Amen. So... all those chapters coming through. And I'm going, I'm picking up stuff that I've never heard before in Scripture. So whatever works for you. I don't know, maybe I used to be a nighttime Bible reader because the mornings didn't love me and I never loved the mornings. You might be a morning person. You might be a paper Bible person. You might be, let's play it in the car on your Bluetooth. I don't know and I don't mind. We just need to be people of the Word of God. We need to be saturated in the Scriptures. We need to build our lives on the teaching of Jesus. What works for you? How are you going to marinate yourself, soak yourself in Scripture? Because I tell you what the worst thing you can do is when you're in a crisis and you've not read the Bible and you don't know what Jesus wants, is you decide to play pin the tail on the Bible. And so you just go, oh, Lord, you know, speak to me, oh, Lord, you know. Judas went out and hanged himself. Go do you likewise. That's not the way to find the will. That's not the way to find the will of God for your life.
No.
So we need to get the full counsel of Scripture. We've just got to find something that works for us and stick with it. You see, the Holy Spirit can't bring to your memory the things that were never in your memory. You're in a crisis and you're looking for the Word of God. The Holy Spirit can't bring to your memory something that's never been in your memory. We've got to get these things in our life. And in our life will be eternal life. That's why in 1 John we read these words. I write these things that you who believe in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, so that you might know that you have eternal life. You don't get eternal life when you die. Believe in Jesus on this side of the room. Got three people who look like they're saved. I'm going to go to an evangelistic call right now. Do you believe in Jesus? All right. If you follow Jesus, you have eternal life. Just going to check with the sound desk that they're born agains as well. All right. Sound desk people and musos, born again people. All right. Loving Jesus. Yeah. Have you got eternal life? One sound desk operator's got eternal life. People believe in Jesus over here, follow Jesus. You have eternal life. If you believe in Jesus and have accepted Jesus, you have eternal life. That's what the Scripture says. And that's why in John 1:12 it says, those who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's what we are when we are believers. We are not born of natural descent, human decision or a husband's will, because it's an individual decision. Praise the Lord if you've got a Christian grandmother or father. Praise the Lord if you've got a Christian father or mother. Praise the Lord if you've got a Christian child. But each generation needs to find faith of its own. My wife is a multi-generation faith believer, as her grandmother, her mother, herself were. She is. I'm not. Didn't come from a Christian home. Found Jesus myself. And then, praise the Lord, so to my mother after me. Glory to God. How good was that? Best thing in my life. It's just great. So what three things do we need? What are the marks of the disciple? We listen to Jesus. We know Jesus. And we follow Jesus.